Today on Family Talk.
The National Day of Prayer is right around the corner, and today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, we're going to discuss how you can be involved and what we can all be praying for. Hi everyone, I'm Ryan Dobson, and our guests for the program today include my mom, Shirley, who has been the chair of the National Day of Prayer Task Force since 1991, and I am so proud of the work she's done in that role. We also have the vice chairman of the task force, John Bornshine, with us. It's important to note that John is also an executive member of the National Prayer Committee. And finally, we have the great privilege and honor of having Dr. Jack Graham on the program. He is the founder of PowerPoint Ministries, the pastor of the 40,000-plus member congregation Prestonwood Baptist Church, and is this year's honorary chair of the National Day of Prayer. For those that can't stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to let you know of a very special offer that is only available for the month of May. There is nothing like being loved unconditionally and intimately, decade after decade, by someone who promises to be there with you for the rest of your days. And in my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, he shares the powerful and biblical insights for building a marriage that will not only last, but thrive. And right now, for every donation we receive this month, we'll say thank you by sending you not only the Love for a Lifetime book, but also the corresponding DVD from the brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. To stand with Family Talk on behalf of families, give today by clicking the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. Let's get to the program now. Here is my dad and our co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker, as they begin the program on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We're going to talk about the National Day of Prayer today, and it's right around the corner again, and this is going to be a particularly special day, not only because of the things that are planned, but because of the need for prayer that I think all of us are feeling at this time.
Yes.
And I've got several people to introduce today. They've been sitting here quietly, and one of them is my beloved wife, Shirley, and I'm so glad to have her here. It's always good to have her in the studio. I can't get her to come in here very often, but she's got her hands full as the chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, and has been since 1991, and I'm so proud of the work that she's done. Welcome back, Chair Lady.
It's always a privilege to come and talk about the National Day of Prayer, and I just want to say this to our listeners, how much I appreciate my dear husband opening up these microphones over and over again, calling people to prayer, because that is the hope of our nation.
What could be more important than that, especially with the things our country is facing right now? And we'll talk a little bit about that. Shirley, I said you have been chairman of the National Day of Prayer since 1991. That means this is your 24th year at the helm. You really didn't know what you were signing up for in the beginning, did you?
I really didn't. When Vonette Bright passed the baton to me and asked me to be the chairman of the National Day of Prayer, I thought, I can do this for 2 or 3 years. And the Lord just kept his thumb in my back, continued to bless the National Day of Prayer. It was growing. In fact, Jim, you know, this morning we were sitting talking about this broadcast, and I actually broke down and wept thinking about when I first started, I had $6,000 that Vonette had passed on to me and one volunteer. And to know that this year we may have over 46,000 prayer gatherings in the nation with every governor signing a proclamation.
You got every one of them.
Well, we're working on it. We're planning on getting all 50.
Well, how close are you to it?
John, you'll have to answer that.
We have 43 and counting, Shirley.
Wow. Well,
that voice you just heard is John Bornshine, who is the vice chairman with Shirley. And together they lead a team here. And I tell you, they are effective. I wouldn't want to take them on. I know that. Well, John has been vice chairman of the National Day of Prayer for 11 years with Shirley?
I've been 11 years with Shirley, yes. Mm-hmm. It's been an incredible opportunity to serve in the nation. This is a, well, this is a needed ministry, and I'm extremely passionate to be a part of it.
And you are also a pastor.
That's right.
Of Calvary Fellowship.
That's right. Calvary Fellowship, Fountain Valley, right here in Colorado Springs. We minister to military families predominantly. Here in Colorado Springs, 6 military bases, a lot of military families, so it's an honor to serve them.
Okay, now let me introduce our guest of honor, because I'm just delighted to have him join us today. It's Dr. Jack Graham. And he is the founder of PowerPoint Ministries. In other words, he has his own radio and television shows, and Shirley and I watch him on television almost every week. He's the pastor of the 40,000-plus member Prestonwood Baptist Church. And I had the privilege, and Shirley was with me, of being there to address that crowd Sunday morning several weeks ago. And Dr. Graham interviewed me for 55 minutes. And I tell you what, if you ever get a chance to go to that church, you will get a blessing. There were 17,000 people that were there, either in the congregation that that I addressed or two other campuses. Is that correct, Jack?
It is. It is. We have three campuses along with Espanol, and it was a great day. And you encouraged our people. It was. I hope that you were as blessed as we were, because it was a wonderful day. And we just talked about life. We talked about ministry. We talked about the future. We talked about the country, all those things that God has raised you and Shirley up to talk about in these times. And so it was a highlight day for our church, for sure.
Well, it meant a lot to us. You know, the things that I just ticked off there that you're doing and that you're responsible for, how in the world did you have time to say you would serve, and I'm announcing it now, serve as the honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer? I know when Shirley called you and asked, I held my breath, because I know what kind of pressure you're under, but you agreed to do it, and you've poured your heart into it even before the National Day of Prayer actually rolls around. So I asked the question, how did you find time to do this?
Well, you know, my first question really isn't about the time on anything I'm asked to do, but really about the significance and the importance of what I'm being asked to do. And I really didn't have to even pray about it a whole lot, though I did pray about it and certainly committed it to the Lord. But, you know, I just have an inclination to say yes when I'm asked to do something that would advance the kingdom of God and encourage and strengthen the church. And we're all concerned about our nation. So this was right really in my sweet spot in terms of what I'm thinking about, what I'm praying about in these days. And so I saw it as an open door, as an opportunity to advance the cause of Christ and to be a part of something that for these years has been such a vital part of our nation's history, really. And I pray for the future and the coming days of our nation. So I have enjoyed every step of the way. And your team there, Shirley, and the National Day of Prayer group, John, everyone has been so accommodating. And our team here has worked hard. Our church is behind this. So it was very easy to say yes, really, truly was, because this is such an important opportunity and responsibility.
And on your television program, I noticed you had a promotion. You had a banner there for the National Day of Prayer promoting it. And Dr. Jack has also written a wonderful, wonderful book with our theme this year, the title, Lord, Hear Our Cry. It's a 30-day prayer challenge, and I plan on starting it when I get back from the National Day of Prayer. It's 30 days, and it's all about prayer. And, well, you could speak more intelligently about it, Pastor Jack, than I can. But
well, it's not a book on prayer. It's a challenge to pray. Is that correct?
Exactly. We started here at the church, really, to invite our people to set the pace, if you will. We have the responsibility. I challenged Prestonwood to say, if we're going to have this opportunity, then let's set the pace for other churches and other organizations. So our people at Prestonwood are all in, and this is just part of it. Literally thousands, over 8,000 of our people this past Sunday picked up the prayer challenge and the 30-day prayer challenge, along with a journal that comes with it. And they're on board and they're on their knees and they're praying. We're just hoping and yes, praying that this somehow will catch fire across the nation and that it would truly be a movement. It's a great day. It's a great week coming up in May. But ultimately, we know it becomes a catalyst for what God wants to do in the hearts of his people going mm-hmm. forward as well.
Dr. Graham, I have a question. You know, I speak with a lot of parents, and I'm a pediatrician, and I work with a lot of parents. And I can just hear a lot of our listeners driving around out there listening to you and saying, you know what, though, Dr. Graham, my day is so busy, and I have all these children. How do I fit prayer into my day? So let me ask you, what would you say to that young man or woman with young children? Why do we need to fit prayer into our day?
As someone said, we're too busy not to pray. And
exactly.
Because of so many opportunities and responsibilities in life, challenges. And I would say to anyone listening, and certainly a young, busy family, that prayer is a conversation with God. Paul said, pray all the time, pray everywhere. And we can pray throughout the day and make prayer not the last chance, but our first choice in every conflict we face, every difficulty we may encounter, or a decision we have to make at the office or in business or with the kids. It should drive us immediately to pray and to ask God for his guidance and his strength and his help. Now, I do believe that there should be a time when we pray. I teach the need to have a devotional life and a prayer time that is designated, and this should be disciplined in our lives. It's a fact that we won't pray everywhere and until we pray somewhere. We won't pray all the time until we pray at some time.
Yes.
So I do challenge people to discipline themselves in prayer and to do it first thing in the morning if at all possible. But at the same time, I want to be a man who prays about everything. And whether it's driving down the street or working in my study or preaching a message, I want it to be bathed in prayer and saturated with God's presence and power. And that only comes through prayer.
Dr. Meeker, I like what one mother said about her prayer life. She had toddlers in her home. And she said the first time that she was able to choose anything, when she had just a little break, that she chose prayer. Yeah. And I thought that was a good thing for busy moms, because they all have time to maybe have a quick cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Take that time and pray.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. The great story about John Wesley's mother, Susanna Wesley, is that she had, 17 children, something like
yes.
that. And how do you pray? How do you have time to pray with 17 children? And the children knew she would throw her apron over her head and that's getting in the prayer closet, and throw her apron over her head. And the children knew not to bother her when she was praying. So sometimes drastic measures are needed when your schedule is so challenging. But we do desperately need. And how could we possibly raise a family? How could we possibly do the work that we have been given apart from the divine blessing and power of God upon our lives? And the channel of that blessing and power is believing prayer.
Yeah. Dr. Graham, you alluded to in your answer just a minute ago that you're concerned about this country at this time. Is that true? And if so, what are those concerns?
I'm very concerned about our country. The moral collapse, let's start there. The denial of truth, the decadence, that's a word you don't hear too much, but I believe it's descriptive of what we're seeing. I was just watching news reports today of spring break activities down in Florida. It's getting worse and worse. And you know, we can't grow to just expect those things. Sometimes, in a restaurant, you get used to the darkness and your eyes adjust to the darkness. And in some ways, I'm concerned that we're getting adjusted. Our hearts and our lives are getting adjusted to the darkness and to the decadence. And we need to open the eyes of our heart, as Paul talked about in praying in Ephesians, and look around us. And because for the sake of our children, the sake of our grandchildren, what kind of nation, what kind of community, what kind of culture are we leaving them? So the culture is collapsing around us. I just met with a good friend, Dr. Harry Jackson, who is bishop pastor in Washington, D.C.
Good
we
man.
Were praying about the Reconciled Church. He has an organization that is working to, in view of Ferguson and the racial tensions that have erupted once again, just the violence, the hate, the bitterness that's growing in this nation. Only God. You know, I'm for engaging the political process and being salt and light and supporting people who support our values. But ultimately, we know that God and God alone can solve the problems that we face as a nation. Mm-hmm. And that's not even to speak of the terrors that come from the outside and the possibilities of attacks from within and without.
Amen.
You know, of all the things that worry me today, and those who have been listening to our program in recent days are aware of what I'm about to say, but the thing that concerns me most is a Supreme Court decision that's about to be handed down on the definition of marriage. Everything, including our expression of our love for the Lord, depends on that foundation of the family. In the book of Malachi, the second chapter, it says that the reason God created marriage in the first place is because he wanted godly offspring. I mean, that's pretty clear that that's what led him to create the family. And it's about to be undermined and weakened and damaged in a way that I don't think we will ever recover from if it happens and if we don't call out to the Lord in prayer. John, you're worried about that too, aren't you?
Well, I think that what we see is, like Israel, there were these times where the nation would turn from God, and the only recourse was a solemn assembly where God's people had to come together to cry out to him. And I think that's what we're desperately praying for right now is a return to God in repentance, a 2 Chronicles 7:14 moment, because I do believe that judgment is right at our doorstep, both ecologically, economically, the moral disintegration of this nation. It is right there. Unless we turn to God in prayer right now, we will see that our generations will be severely impacted. So this rests on our shoulders to gather together like Joel chapter 1 and 2 to cry out to God. And that's ultimately what the National Day of Prayer is all about. There's Matthew 6 where there's the personal prayer, and then there's the Matthew 18 where the two or more are gathered. And that's what we're praying for is join arm in arm as one voice crying out to God in prayer.
You played a role in the selection of the theme, cry out to the Lord. Exactly what, say what it is again.
Yes, it's 1 Kings 8:28, and it tells us, hear the cry in prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day.
And surely you ultimately made that choice. Explain why it's important to cry out. Some people won't even understand what that means.
Exactly.
You know, the Bible makes a distinction between praying and crying out. And we see it over and over, as John said, in the Old Testament with the Israelites. They would turn their back on God. He would allow them to go into captivity. They would have enough of it, and then they would turn and they would cry out for repentance and mercy, and he would give it to them, and he would restore them. And in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In Psalms 86:7, which says, in the day of trouble, I will call upon you and you will answer. So there is a time for praying. There's a time for fervent prayer, calling out or crying out to God. And that's what we're asking everyone to do. And I'm asking every coordinator out there, every person that's going to have a prayer event, that you start your event, for those that can, kneeling, humbling themselves in a posture of humility before our great God, and then starting with repentance, and then go into petitions.
Amen. Amen. You know, Shirley, you and I have both talked about this, about the history of the National Day of Prayer. This is not a new phenomenon. Really, we have the opportunity of having received the baton and challenging every one of you listening right now today to join with us in what has been something that our forefathers had established. I mean, even before 1620, if we look at 1775, Dr. Vicani, I just want to read these powerful words. I know our time is short, but here's what it says. It says, we have humbly come before the Father, asking for forgiveness of our iniquities. It is recommended to Christians of all denominations to assemble for public worship and to abstain from labor and recreations for this said day. And that was in 1775. Our forefathers knew the importance of setting aside the work, coming together and praying out to God our Father.
Haven't there been more than 35 or 38 presidents that called for a National Day of Prayer?
That's
not,
right.
Not the present one, I might say, but that has been the history of this country.
That's right. Throughout our nation's history, we've had over 1,400 proclamations for federal and state calls for prayer in America's history. 34 of the 44 did call for national days of prayer. Some of those who did not called for days of thanksgiving and prayer. So it is deeply rooted in America's history.
All right. I'm going to have to speed up the tempo here because we have a lot of information to get out there. Shirley, National Day of Prayer this year is on?
Falls on Thursday, May 7th, thanks to our former president, Ronald Reagan, who signed that into law in 1988. So
it's the first Thursday of the month of May.
Always falls on the first Thursday of May.
John, just give us a little feeling for what this prayer day will be like around the country. This really has become a national event. This is not
absolutely a
one-time, one-place event. This is America's Day of Prayer.
That's right. From coast to coast, 43,000 prayer gatherings. And surely you and I just love reading the stories because they're so unique, from balloon launches, motorcycle rallies, even prayer flight, where they're praying from the air and covering all the capitals from the sky. So from the ground all the way to the air, we're praying, and it's going to be happening coast to coast.
Every capital has planes above it.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
That is a powerful moment because we have signed up all of these folks who are graciously donating their time to make sure from the sky there's prayer covering every one of the leaders of each of these states.
And even Hollywood is having a prayer gathering on Vine Street. And I don't know how to say this, but it's at the Montalban. It's Montalban, the Montalban. But anyway, this is put on by the Hollywood Prayer Network, and it's going to be a huge gathering. So we're excited about that. And you might be interested to know that Governor Scott Walker will be attending the Governor's Prayer Breakfast in Milwaukee. And there's a huge Mayor's Prayer Breakfast in Dallas. Lots of mayors are attending that. And they're going to have Duck Dynasty's Alan Robertson, which is the oldest son of Phil Robertson, is going to be the speaker. So there's just lots of events going on. But the main thing is, like Dr. Jack said, is whether you're sitting around your breakfast table, your dining room table, you're having a cup of coffee, or you have a carpool, the important thing is to lift up this nation and the needs that we have in prayer.
Yeah. Well, our time is gone, and I really regret that because there are other aspects of this National Day of Prayer that we want to talk about, and I'm just going to make a command decision here, and we're going to give tomorrow to it. So, Dr. Graham, can you stay with us?
I would enjoy that very much. Thank you.
All right. We'll record what we're about to say and do, and that will be heard tomorrow. I hope our listeners will be with us again. And please do be in prayer, not only for the nation, but for this event, calling the nation to prayer. And, you know, many people have maybe never attended a prayer event in their lives, but they're concerned about the country. They're concerned about their own children. And this is a time to put a ribbon around all of those needs and just extend our hands upward to the Lord. And I believe He will honor us.
And Jim, if they want to know more about the National Day of Prayer or if there's an event in their area, they can log on to nationaldayofprayer.org.
Well said. Thank you, everyone. Dr. Meeker, you didn't get much time here, but we'll work in your thoughts next time.
That will be great.
Thanks. Okay. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that you are excited and ready for this year's National Day of Prayer, which will take place this Thursday in Washington, D.C. and around the country. We've been listening to the first part of an interview with a panel of guests here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more information about the National Day of Prayer, including a link to read Dr. Jack Graham's Call for Prayer, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org. And while you're there, don't forget to take advantage of the opportunity I mentioned at the top of the program. Family Talk exists to preserve and promote the institution of the family and the biblical principles upon which it was based. You can help fight for families today with your financial gift. And when you give this month, we'll say thank you by giving you my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, and the corresponding DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. Donate online at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. Coming up next time, don't miss the conclusion of our program about the 2015 National Day of Prayer. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.